All right, and we're back for another episode of Inside Sports Fantasy Football. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Pop Culture Cosmos. Inside Sports Fantasy Football, the Lakers Fast Break, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow us, support us in any way, shape, or form you can, it is truly appreciated. Plus, I also want to go ahead and hit up Domination Sports Nation. Each and every week, check out Domination Sports Nation. You'll be glad you did. Well, they're back. The Lardieri's are back once again. Dominic and Chris Lardieri, they're back to go ahead and rock the house here at Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Plus, we're also available to answer your questions live on the air. And even if you can't get a hold of us now, you can always go ahead and send us at any point in time any questions that are out there. Of course, isfantasyfootball@yahoo.com, plus InsideSportsFF on Twitter, at Chris L. Sports on Twitter, and of course, Chris Lardieri at LinkedIn. He's always able to go ahead and answer. He'll just drop everything, no matter how important anything going on in his life. And boy, you know, in everybody's lives lately, there's been a lot of important stuff going on. But guys, it's great to have you here. Once again, Dominic and Chris Lardieri of Domination Sports Nation back at it. Pretty good week in the NFL today, wasn't it, Chris?
Yeah, it was, considering some of the matchups on paper didn't look that great. I thought we had a bunch of interesting endings, including the Saints-Bears game, which seemed like no one wanted to win. The Saints prevailed in overtime. But yeah, that was one that definitely caught my eye. And we had the Chargers choking yet another lead under Anthony Lynn's leadership.
I don't know. Maybe it's a rite of passage that they're doing that, because it seems like this has been the Chargers' way for so many years. I'm sorry to see that happen, because I kind of have a soft spot in my heart for them because of all the stuff that they've gone through in recent times, especially being moved over to the soccer field, always, you know, just far coming to LA and things of that nature, and how they were treated there as far as having to play 16 road games last year. And you and I joked on and on mercilessly about that. So I kind of have a soft spot in my heart for the organization. Plus, with Justin Herbert, a rising young star there at quarterback, they could be set for a long, long time.
Completely agree. It's just between the ineptitude at kicker and whatever the heck is going on with this team that they can't hold on to leads. I know the buzz of late has been to point the finger at Anthony Lynn, but this has been going on for years and years. So yeah. I'm not sure what the heck's going on. But yeah, they've got a lot of talent that seems like it's going to waste.
Well, Dom, I want to ask you, as far as this weekend is concerned, we got back to really a level of play from the quarterback position I really liked for the most part. And two of the places I want to start are with two awesome quarterbacks. In fact, they're at the top of the list when you look at the scoring leaders right now. And I'm showing everybody here on Facebook Live. Right now you have Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson at the top of the list for fantasy points and fantasy producers out there. And in fact, those two are running neck and neck for MVP. So I want to throw this out to you right now when it comes to what's going on with the NFL. Which one would you take if you had to go ahead and choose? Obviously, it would be nice to have both. But which one would you have right now on your fantasy lineup if you had to start one? Mahomes or Wilson? Because Wilson is playing at a level that's really has to be seen to be believed.
Yeah, well, I think Russell Wilson has been playing at a high level all year, and I think a lot of people have been saying that he's a front runner to win MVP and all that stuff. But I think Mahomes, the consistency is there. He had one bad game, and even then he threw for a lot of yards against the Raiders. And like you've seen, the Chiefs have a tough schedule this year, and Mahomes is still producing points. The Chiefs have had to play the Ravens, the Bills, the Raiders. I mean, they played a lot of good teams so far, and we're only in week 9. So if he's producing that many points, I think you got to go get him next year.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll tell you what, he's just Mahomes. Everybody was on Mahomes bandwagon, you know, greatest player in the NFL. And there were some people really on his back going into this season, Chris, where you're saying to yourself, you know what, he can't have that good of a year. He cannot possibly go and do this once again, sign that mega huge contract, and people will say, oh, he's going to go ahead. He's not doing all the endorsements and things of that nature. It's all going to go to his head. You know what? It hasn't.
Not at all. And I think, too, he's young, he's hungry, and I don't see any signs of letting up. I will also throw in there, he's got a tremendous set of weapons, and now with Le'Veon Bell also in the backfield, alongside Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And let's face it, you know, the much maligned Andy Reid, say what you will about him, guy won a Super Bowl, he's had a tremendous amount of success in this league, and really one of the best offensive play callers, and not only now, but maybe in modern football history.
It, like I said, it's just they're on a roll in KC. They have their offensive just going at a tremendous output right now. I cannot say enough great things about KC. Looking like they're going to be strong contenders to go back to back. But watch out for Russell Wilson, because he has been strong, like you said, Dom, all year long. So I ask you, my friend, you know, if you have one of them on your team, would it be time to think about a trade?
I don't think so, unless you're really desperate at one position, like if you're really scarce at wide receiver or running back. But even then, I don't think you would try to trade them, because you're going to need to get a lot in return for a player like that. So if you're going to try to deal him, I would say try to get 3 decent running backs, or even 2 superstar running backs. If not, then try to get some good receivers as well. So you're just hoping for a guy to have a bad week, let's say like Davante Adams this week. He's been going strong for 3 weeks now. He's had some really good games, but if he doesn't put up any points tomorrow night, then people decide, oh, I'm kind of panicking, I think I need to trade this dude. So that's just the manner of that.
Well, it is going to be interesting to see how the rest of the season plays out as we go into week 9 of the NFL, because I'm very intrigued to see exactly can not one, but both of these quarterbacks continue this high level of play. And if you have them as your starting QB on your fantasy team, you got to be smiling from ear to ear. Although I just checked out in my league, on the ESPN league that I have, the individual that has Patrick Mahomes in our league actually is in last place. I don't understand how that can be done, but you know what, Chris? It just goes to show you cannot just live in fantasy football off of one player alone.
I completely agree. We're living proof of that. We've got them on both our teams, and one team is pretty pathetic, and the other one's in the hunt for the playoffs. So just a function of the depth around them, too. Even though you've got one of the great quarterbacks in football on your team, does not mean it'll translate to fantasy success. You've got to have a well-rounded team. And, yeah, you know, we've thought about trading him and put him out there for a bid. We just haven't gotten the right offers in return. And like I told Dom, you know, if we're going to stink this year, at least we'll enjoy watching Patrick Mahomes week to week.
There you go, indeed. But we want to hear everyone's thoughts on, if you had to choose one, would it be Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes? We want to hear your thoughts on that. isfantasyfootball@yahoo.com or InsideSportsFF on Twitter. Guys, I didn't put this in the lineup as far as for today, but I want to ask you a quick question on the other end of the spectrum, because it came out as far as what's going on with the reasons why in Miami that Tua maybe would have been sent out there a little bit too early. Yes, Miami still won, and Miami is still very much in the playoff hunt, but he did not look very impressive at all. Did throw a touchdown pass, but clearly was looking a little bit behind the eight ball when it comes to several different points as far as his completion ratio and things of that nature. So, Chris, I want to ask you this first. It came out that the infamous sources say that they're putting it out there as how well he can go ahead and play at a level now, because they have the rights to the Houston first and second round picks, if I'm not mistaken. So that is very enticing. And the fact is, you could go ahead and if you don't like what Tua has now to offer, you could just get Trevor Lawrence in a few months' time.
Yeah, which is insanely crazy to me, when Tua, they said, was a guy they really wanted. And before he got injured at Alabama last year, everyone thought he'd be the consensus number one in the 2020 draft. So you're telling me you're throwing him out there because you're not convinced he's your franchise future quarterback, but yet you're saying he is. So a lot of mixed messages there. I'm wondering too if they're throwing him out there. I mean, really, what do? You trade him, or do you think there's more value in potentially trading the number one pick? So I'm not sure what to believe. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors there. I personally just thought they were going to play him just because, hey, he's the franchise, and you know, we got a pretty decent team this year, but I don't think we have Super Bowl aspirations. So what the heck? Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert look good. Well, why not Tua? You know, let's play follow the leader here. I'm not sure what to believe on that, but it's pretty astounding to me that they might seriously be considering evaluating the guy based on not even half a season, and they really think Trevor Lawrence is going to be in play. Honestly, if you look at it, the Texans will have a high pick that they'll inherit, but
I don't think
the Jets winning a game.
Yeah, I don't see it either. I mean, that could spoil their plans, but there's also the kid from North Dakota, if I'm not mistaken, and one more high-ranked quarterback, I think, all in the mix. So
Justin Fields.
Yes.
Yeah, Ohio State.
Yeah. So there are three quarterbacks in play. I think that if they're interested or really like to see or really like that what they see on tape, are going to go ahead and go after one of them. But I actually was really upset that the Fitzmagic was benched. But now that I look at it from that perspective, and you think, oh, maybe I could still sneak in as a wild card with Tua, but realize that maybe Tua might not be the answer. Actually, that's not a, you know, I'll just say this, Dom. That's not a pretty bad move. I mean, that to me, I think is pretty smart.
Yeah, honestly, I think so too. I mean, Tua just had, I don't know what to think of Tua right now. I mean, he kind of had like a type game. I mean, they didn't put up much offense. Jared Goff did the rest for the Dolphins by turning the ball over four times. So I don't know what to think of Tua right now. I think they had a tough matchup against the Rams, but honestly, I hope for the best for him. They play the Cardinals this week, and the Cardinals actually look pretty good against the Seahawks, so I hope he does well then.
Well, Tua Tagovailoa is somebody that we're going to keep an eye on, not necessarily for your starter for your fantasy team or anything of that nature, but just more of like, can he go ahead and become that franchise quarterback, or is it something where we're going to see him like the next Josh Rosen? So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, but that's going to be very interesting. So I thought I'd throw that out there before we go ahead and hit our next subject, which is Mr. Dalvin Cook. And I'll tell you what, Dalvin Cook did a great job this past week in 100 yards and a touchdown. He's had a very under-the-radar season. And now, as of right now, when you look at it, because we talked about this last week about who was number two behind Alvin Kamara, because there is quite a gap between Alvin Kamara and everybody else in the running back position. But lo and behold, Chris, I see Dalvin Cook now establishing himself as the second best running back in the league points-wise. But still,
yeah.
it just doesn't seem to me like there's a dominant player outside of Kamara. So you could be apt to go ahead and maybe field offers for him if you have him on your team.
Yeah, you could. And I think Cook had a terrific game against the Packers and in an upset. But the thing with me with Cook, I've had him once previously. He's a phenomenal talent. If he stays on the field, he's going to produce. But he can't. Consistently year after year, he's hurt. He's already gotten hurt this year. And I know wasn't anything serious, but that's the frustration with him. And you know, running backs take hits. We get it. They wear down over time. But this has been every year he's been in the league. So if you were to take his partial year stats and annualize him, I'd argue he's up there with a Kamara and Ezekiel Elliott. But there's that just risk hanging over him. Will I get 16 games out of this guy? Heck, will I even get 14 games out of him? It's hard to say.
Right now, he is number two, which I think speaks more volumes about the depth at the running back position than anything else. I think it's, if you would have told me Dalvin Cook would be number two on the list, a distant number two, Dom, I think that would have been very surprising to me. But I want to ask you this, when it comes to the team that they faced off against, Green Bay, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is having a great season, 20 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. But yet, still, it really hurts to see him, because we're going to talk about this coming up at the trade deadline and all that. But, you know, it just really hurts to see him have these kind of great seasons and really not get the support he needs.
Yeah, well, that starts at the upper management. I think they had a horrible draft. They could have taken a guy like Justin Jefferson or any of those receivers that were there, they could have picked instead of picking Jordan Love. And whoever else they took. They took A.J. Dillon from Boston College, running back, despite them having a top five running back already. So it's kind of confusing why they would do that. They also have a terrible offensive line, too. They didn't draft an offensive lineman either. So Aaron Rodgers isn't getting the help he needed. And you saw he was getting pressured all game. And I think the only guy he really throws to is Davante Adams. I mean, he can't really throw to anyone else.
Well, it's very interesting to see what they're doing there. And this leads us into the next question I have for you, Chris, and that is the trade deadline. It came and went a little bit less active than I thought it would be, more on the defensive end and defensive side of the ball. So I want to hear your thoughts on a winner, because obviously the Green Bay Packers got to be one of the top losers in this scenario as far as the fact that they didn't go ahead and trade for anybody that could go ahead and give Aaron Rodgers another weapon. They say, you know what? You're fine, Aaron. The problem is, when you get to the point, you need a lot more, because it looks like he's going to have to get into a few shootouts, you know, when it comes down right down to it, and he needs all the weapons he can get. But who do you think came out very good when it comes to the limited action that was done at the trade deadline?
I mean, there was really no one that stood out to me, Gerald. Like you said, I know there are a number of trades of defensive players. The Vikings dumping another former Jacksonville defensive end to Baltimore. Does that count as a good trade? I guess so. But I just feel like there weren't any impact players that changed hands this year. And I know that's a function of COVID. And if you do trade someone, what are the ramifications of that if they become positive? There was talk that Will Fuller would go to Green Bay, which I thought made a lot of sense, but apparently
we talked about on last week's show.
Yeah. And we, the three of us all agreed that'd be a great move football-wise and fantasy-wise, but from what I read, the Packers didn't want to pay whatever the steep price was the Texans were asking for. But if you think you've got a Super Bowl contender and you're missing a piece and you're not going to address it in the draft, then why not get an established player in a trade market where, you know, you're probably could get a Fuller for a little bit less than you would in a normal year. So I don't quite understand. Honestly, no, it sounds like I'm punting on this, but nothing really stuck out to me this year just because there were limited trades of guys that were not dominant and or skill players. So just kind of an odd year.
But it goes back to one of our losers, and that is something that you just mentioned, and that was the Houston Texans. Bill O'Brien ain't running the team anymore, but still, it looks like there's still a lot of ineptitude right now. J.J. Watt is not a happy camper from what I see and read.
Not at all. And, you know, I talk to people in Wisconsin and they keep floating that rumor out there. They hear, could J.J. potentially go to Green Bay? Not happening right now, maybe in the offseason, but there's one destination for him. But I could see him leaving. I mean, he's a lot of money against the cap there. And whoever the GM is, he's inheriting the player. It's not like it's one of his picks. So if you're going to do a rebuild, you may as well start by trading one of the best defensive players in football for a king's ransom in picks, at least.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what they need, is a king's ransom in picks, because they've given up a king's ransom in picks. Like we just talked about earlier in the show, when it comes to Miami salivating at the high picks that they don't have themselves, but will have courtesy of the Houston Texans. So, Dom, I want to ask you this. When you see that kind of ineptitude, if you're a Houston Texans fan, what do? You just scratch your head and just move on. But I guess it's okay for fantasy owners because of the fact that you have Deshaun Watson, still a very quality quarterback, still having a decent season. In the top 10, if quarterbacks are concerned, at least he still has his weapons around him, even though at one time all three could have been traded.
Yeah, I just think Deshaun Watson, it's kind of eye-opening to see how he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now, and his team's just awful. I mean, he has three decent receivers. He's got Will Fuller, Brandon Cooks, Kenny Stills. I mean, he's got some good guys to throw to, but I just don't know what's wrong with that team. And maybe it's because they traded Hopkins. I know he was one of his favorite targets, but I just don't know. Deshaun Watson's playing at a really high level right now, but the Texans just aren't.
It's just a shame, though, for Brandon Cooks, who seemingly is kind of like a vagabond of the NFL and just goes from city to city. He's got a suitcase, lives out of it and all that, because it's just very, you know, it's very sorry to see, because he's such a good player in my estimation, and to see him constantly go from team to team to team and, oh, you do a great job. Okay, we'll go ahead and let you go or trade you to some other team. it just seems like he's a quality player that a team shouldn't really give up so easily. So it was kind of nice to see Houston do that, but maybe it wasn't for the best for their team, because they do need a lot of assets, because under the Bill O'Brien regime, they did give up so much.
We may be headed to the replay booth, but we'll be right back with Inside Sports Fantasy Football. For the latest news and information, analysis and opinions on the Los Angeles Lakers and the NBA, check out the Lakers Fast Break podcast today on wherever you get your podcasts.
Once again, I'm with Dominic Lardieri and Chris Lardieri of the Domination Sports Nation. You got to go ahead and check out their podcast today wherever you get your podcasts. I want to ask you this before we hit an update on our Pick'em Challenge before we head on out. And we also have a question that just came in. So before we get to the question, I just want to ask you this, Chris. Can you still find some gems on the waiver wire? I did, and Ayuk of San Francisco, who unfortunately got hurt but had a tremendous game this past weekend and basically saved my game for me. I want to hear your thoughts. Can you still find some gems at the waiver wire?
You can, and like we've advocated over the past few shows, you need to pay attention to running back depth, whether it's hoarding guys that are maybe in a backup position or maybe even in a rotation, like we mentioned a Philip Lindsay a few weeks ago. Dom, doing his usual great diligence, found one for one of our teams this week. Nassim Hines, with Jonathan Taylor looking like he's not going to play due to an injury, and the Colts, they like to run the ball, and when Hines does play, even last year, he can get you some points. I'm not saying he's the greatest, but our team has a bye week issues. I think he's a good guy to start in there as an RB2, or if you really need a flex. So there's one right there. Dom, I'm going to defer to you because you found a few other gems on waivers this week.
Yeah, well, I think another guy is Curtis Samuel, even though Christian McCaffrey is probably going to be back this week. I think he's good for them. He's like a flex receiver almost. It's not like that in fantasy football. He's a flex. He's a flex for the Panthers too. They hand the ball off to him and they throw to him too. So he's a good receiver for your flex, or if you want to put him at the receiver position too. And then another guy I think that's good, but we didn't get him, is Zach Moss. He's out carrying Devin Singletary right now. And
I did. I got him.
We had him at one point.
Yeah, so we actually drafted him because the insider said he would be the starting running back at the start of the year. He didn't get any points his first 2 weeks, and then he ended up hurting his toe, and he was out for a long time, so we ended up dropping him, and now he's blowing up. So I guess that's just our luck, Dad.
Yeah, it's one of those years.
He had a strong game last weekend, and I was able to pick him up just this morning. So I'm thankful that I have him, because my running back, I guess by committee, is by committee, because the committee's, everyone on that committee all seems to be injured or going to the IR anytime soon. So I'm thankful that I do have him. And J.D. McKissie, I think it's from Washington. I think I picked both of them up. Got to look out for him. Averaging close to 7 yards a carry on some games, and also getting a lot of out of the backfield as a receiver. So look out for him. Is it J.D. McDuffie or J.D.
McKissie.
Yeah. J.D. Yeah. McKissie from Washington football team. So look out for him. He's been producing some nice stats. Just needs to get the ball a little bit more often, get some touches, because he could really be something fantasy football owners could really enjoy. But I want to get to the question right now from Clutchful. And thank you so much for watching. We truly appreciate it. Cannot thank you enough for being a part of Inside Sports Fantasy Football. He says, guys, do you like Drew Lock? Do you think he's the guy for the Broncos going forward? Chris?
I think the jury's still out. He'll have weeks like last week, the second half specifically against the Chargers, where he really shows his ability and some flashes of offensive brilliance. And then there'll be other ones where he's good for a three and out or a lot of punting. I think he's got some good weapons around him this year. I really like Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler from Penn State, the two rookie receivers, Hamler's from Penn State, Jeudy from Alabama. And Melvin Gordon theoretically is a good starting NFL running back, but it just seems like that offense hasn't been clicking this year. So I'm not gonna say cut bait on him yet, but I do feel it could potentially be a situation like the Dolphins are doing with Tua, and Locke's on a brief 1-year audition to see maybe they reboot this again for quarterback in Denver.
The only reason why Clutchful, I say, maybe look in a different direction is because there are quarterbacks on a bye that I saw recently that got dropped. In fact, in mine, Joe Burrow just got dropped, and that's something you might want to keep an eye on. So look at the waiver wire first if you want to go ahead and maybe pick that up, because I think there might be some better options there. Gardner Minshew, I think, is right now a little bit more consistent option right now than Drew Lock. But what are your thoughts, Dom, on Drew Lock for the Broncos?
Yeah, like what my dad said, it'll have like an off and on type game against the Chargers. They're just complete awful in that first half, even in the early third quarter as well. It was 24-3, I believe, and then all of a sudden they just got hot. And try to look out for is Philip Lindsay. He actually out-carried Melvin Gordon, so like a two-headed monster there in Denver. And a guy that they're also missing is Cortland Sutton, the number one receiver for the Broncos. He's really good. I actually kind of followed him last year. I was thinking of drafting him, but he's actually hurt all year, so we didn't get him. But he's a guy to follow.
Well, it seems to me, even though Sutton's hurt, I like Chris what Chris said in that there's a lot of options still, and their offense should be clicking more than what it seems to be, and obviously the record indicates that. I think, Chris, after hearing Dom as far as Sutton being injured, but still, I think I'm going to go with you on the fact that I think they have enough talent around him that he should be at least a little bit more consistent. Reminds me a lot of Jared Goff. Jared Goff is still somewhere in the 12th to 15th area as far as quarterbacks are concerned, but I had to drop him this week because he's just not having it week in and week out.
That's a good analogy. I mean, you could do better, but on the flip side, if your options are Locke or Daniel Jones or any of the Washington quarterbacks, whoever they may be in a given week, I guess you stick with Locke. But as an every week starter, no, but that's kind of my thought. I think unless he turns it around, he had a good second half last year, I would proceed with caution.
Yeah, I would proceed with caution as well. If you need to start him on your fantasy football team, I say, like, it's going to be hot and cold, but if you can find someone like a Joe Burrow or someone else that's right on the cusp there that would be a good starter that got dumped this week because of a bye, something to think about right there for you, my friend. Clutchful has one more question out there for you guys, and that is, Dom, I'm going to start with you first on this. Adam Thielen, having a pretty good year so far. Is he a sell right now? Because he has receiver depth, and he's trying to get a high-end second running back. That's hard to do, but good luck on that one, Clutchful. If he does trade them, who could he get for him? That's a good question. That's a very good question. Although, because like we were talking about with the running backs, the depth of running back is really hard right now. But, Dom, I want to hear your insight. What would you equate Adam Thielen to as far as it's concerned? Because he's really having, overall, a very good year.
Yeah, he is, and if you're going to try to sell him, I think you gotta go look for guys that aren't having really good weeks every single week, and that's not a bad thing because you're going to be getting the guy, but I just think because I've seen two guys that haven't had decent weeks, and that is Kareem Hunt and Ronald Jones. They're both starting running backs. Ronald Jones has not really been so hot the past couple weeks, and Kareem Hunt is just, he's at the Cleveland Browns, is having some weird weeks too, so you could try to get either of those guys. I think they can start to get hot because of what their schedule looks like. But either of those two guys are good. If you really want to try to sell them, you want to try to get a guy like James Robinson, you could try to go get him too, because Thielen's having a really good year.
You might have to do a package deal though, Clutchful. I don't think you'll be able to get a decent running back number two that's going to be consistent week to week. For Adam Thielen, because Adam Thielen's right now number 13, 14, I think, on the list I just showed you on the ESPN if you're watching on Facebook Live. So I want to ask you this then. I think that right now, because he's in 13 to 15th right now, having a very good season, but do you think you could really pull off some kind of trade like that? Because James Robinson, not a bad deal. That would actually be a pretty good deal, but I think he's going to have to offer a package.
It's quite possible. We've seen some desperation in our leagues where you might be able to get away with that. just because at least in Yahoo leagues, a trade deadline is coming up, a week from today, the 11th. So you might be able to swing something at the last minute if there's another injury, or frankly, looking at what's going on with the 49ers, another COVID case, and someone really needs a receiver. So I think, too, I'd feel comfortable trading Thielen here. I know the Vikings had a nice win last week, but again, you're always at the mercy of Kirk Cousins. And I do feel that Justin Jefferson will emerge even more down the stretch as the number one option for Cousins in Minnesota. So if you can get the most for your money, I say deal Thielen.
Bite your tongue on Kirk Cousins. He's the only option I have left as a backup quarterback in my sleeper league. And I'm actually doing well on my sleeper league. So hush on that.
All right.
Well, hopefully, Clutchful, we've been able to answer your questions this week. We just truly appreciate it. And again, if you have any questions or anyone else out there does at any point in time, at Crystal Sports on Twitter, Chris Sardieri on LinkedIn, at Inside Sports FF on Twitter, or isfantasyfootball@yahoo.com, or even Inside Sports Fantasy Football on Facebook, and we'll be glad to go ahead and answer your questions for you at any point in time. Guys, don't let me forget next week the Seattle receivers, because we touched on Russell Wilson's great year, but it's also led to a lot of receivers, in this case, DK Metcalf, and also as well, you want to go ahead and talk about the great year that Tyler Lockett's had. I mean, right now, they're number one and number three in fantasy football as far as wide receiver points. So I want to go ahead and touch on them next week because it reminds me so much of what we saw in Tampa Bay last year with a little bit more edge because you've got a much more accurate quarterback this time. So, yeah, if it holds out and they're still top five receivers, which I think they still will be by the end of next week, I really want to touch on their value going forward what will be the final few weeks for trade values and trade as far as the trade options that are going to be out there that are coming because the trade deadline is nearing in fantasy football. So I definitely want to go ahead and touch on those two next week if possible as well.
We'll be right back with more fantasy football.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I see the potential for basically like another Netflix kind of paradigm shift where here comes this other major player. They have a ton of resources. Apple could change the way that entertainment is consumed.
They say it's the only time this year that you'll have stars from each brand battling each other. And we know it's not going to be the case, but they like to say that, and more power to them, I guess.
Well, it's a big first step, bringing all those superheroes together. There were definitely some parts of the movie that I really enjoyed. And then there were some parts that I thought just kind of fell short of expectation.
Part of it has to be something to do with how it's being promoted. And this is a thing where audiences do not agree with critics.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse, every week on Apple Podcasts.
And over a dozen of your favorite streaming and podcasting options. But before we head on out, guys, Chris, woof, woof, woof. It's that time again. Time to head to the doghouse.
Finally got off the losing streak last week. Took the Steelers at the time. They're +3.5 and end up being +4. Even me with my rancid losing streak thought that line was out of whack, and the Steelers won outright, and the Ravens were in position to win. But even if they did score there, the mighty cover would have come in. So very thankful for that. I think the Steelers are the real deal in the AFC this year, barring injuries. So if anyone wants to tell me why there were dogs like that, be glad to hear any excuses. But this week, a couple games that stuck out were the Cardinals giving, I believe it's as high as 5, perhaps 4.5 against the Dolphins. Dolphins coming off a nice win. I looked at it. I ran it by my trusted advisor, Dom, and he made a good point with Gaskin being banged up. That could be an issue. So decided, we talked about the Seahawks. They're really playing well. I know they had a tough loss in Arizona a few weeks back, but they are giving 3 to Buffalo at home. And look, I get why the lines makers did what they did. The Bills have been struggling lately. They don't look like the team they were in the first 3 weeks. But one of my rules, those when you're a home dog with a winning record, I start to look and take notice. And I do think, too, traditionally Seattle hasn't played as well on the road. I'm not saying that they're a team that could lose this game, but you know, they tend to make games into close contests when they really shouldn't be, especially when they travel east. So given that history and the fact that I think the Bills may have figured something out here with Zach Moss at running back. I'm going to take them. I think they have a good shot to win the game outright. If not, I think it's a close contest. Keep an eye on that line. If it does move up to 3.5, definitely jump on it. That half a point always seems to come into play in the NFL. So the Bills are this week's pick, and let's see if the streak can continue.
No, I was going to ask you off camera after we were done, say, you know what, maybe we should let Dom go to the doghouse next week. And then I realized, you know what, that would be me encouraging a youngster for underage gambling. And that would not be actually the best thing in the world to do. And I don't think Mom Lardieri would like that as well. So unfortunately, Dom, there's no trips to the doghouse until you get of legal gambling age. I'm sorry. But I'll tell you this, my friend, Chris, hopefully you'll get two in a row in the doghouse. But before we hit the Pick'em Challenge and an update on that, I've got one for Dom right here, because Morgan Barkow, and thank you so much for watching, Morgan. We truly appreciate it. He wants to know, would you flex Moss, who we just talked about, that I just got, that I slotted him right into my running back position for this week, over any of these guys in a PPR league? Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, or you were just talking about him, Dominic, Curtis Samuel?
I think you got to go with Zach Moss on this one. He's the hottest guy out there. He's been putting up solid points to the past couple weeks, and he's got a good matchup in the Seahawks run defense, who allowed a Jamichael Hasty touchdown. He also caught one, and Jerick McKinnon ran in for one too, so I think you got to go with Zach Moss on this one. I think Devontae Parker and Preston Williams of the Dolphins, you don't know what's going to happen down there in Miami with Tua being the starting quarterback and Curtis Samuel. I think they're going to give Christian McCaffrey a lot of touches this week because this is his first week back. So you got to go with Zach Moss on this one.
Throw some fresh meat into the grinder, so to speak. Because he's, you know, hasn't played in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Something like that. Well, that's a great answer there for you, Morgan. I hope that answered it for you. But yes, Moss is the guy that's sizzling hot right now. So we're going to go ahead and see what we can do to make sure he's going to be able to produce for you. But before we head on out, I want to go ahead and thank so much everyone for watching and listening. But yes, before we head on out, it is that time. It is that time to recap and update everyone out there on what went on with our Pick'em Challenge. So that's right there. Those were the standings going into the week 8. 12-9 for Chris and me, 9-11-1. So let's see what happened when we go ahead and go back over here. What do you know? I've gained a little bit of ground on Chris because he had a week of 1-2. His only win was the Pittsburgh Steelers. He took his own underdog, his own doghouse choice on that
That's
one.
How confident I was for once.
There you go. And me, I got 2-1. So back on the positive side, almost 11-12-1. You're 13-11. So I'm about 2.5 games down, I think, right now, something like that. So I'll tell you what, right now, I'm closing in. Could be closing that gap, but we'll see. Every Saturday or early Sunday, well, when I sometimes get his note and I actually forget about it, it might be a little bit later Sunday, but it is the fact that we go ahead and post on the weekends the updates on our Pick'em Challenge, and we go ahead and update you every time out on Inside Sports Fantasy Football, and we truly appreciate it. If you go ahead and you check it out, I do see the people watching it and, you know, read the posts and whatnot on Inside Sports Fantasy Football on Facebook, so we truly appreciate it. You never know who's going to end up the winner right now. Funny how that is.
I warned you when I had the big lead, Gerald, these things come in waves, and clearly I've had the cold hand and you're chipping away at the lead, so this is going to get interesting.
Yes, like other certain things in life right now, the count is certainly going to get interesting indeed. Yeah, I won't go there. But Dominic and Chris, it's been so great having you both aboard for this week. But before we head on out, Dominic, can you give everyone an update of what's coming up on the rebound for your show, The Domination Sports Nation?
Yeah, so we're talking about NFL fantasy football updates. Also, be talking about week 9 and the COVID situation with the 49ers and what happened with them. And then we'll also be talking about the NBA and how Adam Silver and the Players Association can't decide on a start date. Adam Silver said, "We're closing in on trying to start before Christmas, but the players don't want to start then, so we'll be talking about that as well.
Well, they got a pushback from Michelle Roberts and the Players Union, and I know LeBron isn't thrilled, but you know what? I can't cry over spilled milk. We won the title for the Los Angeles Lakers. As a humongous Lakers fan that I am and host the Lakers Fast Break podcast, if that's the price we got to do is start the season early, hey, I'll take the championship every single time. But it is looking more and more. I read the reports from ESPN, and they're actually solidifying the 22nd start date. So it's looking more and more like the December 22nd start date for the NBA. So I will be covering that again on the Lakers Fast Break. If you want to go ahead and check that out, that'll be on one of our weekend shows. Actually, you know, it's going to appear on Monday, I think, because the Lakers Championship Roundtable, you either watch it live on the Lakers Fast Break on Facebook or check it out wherever his podcast on Monday. You'll get to hear me argue with the crew of the Lakerholics.com. And if you like your first take, check us out at Lakers Fast Break. But I tell you what, guys, it's been great talking to both of you. I cannot thank you enough for being a part of it. Everybody out there, including Clutchful, Morgan Barkow, and everyone that had a chance to catch us on the many Facebook groups I shared this to, we cannot thank you enough for taking the time for listening to us right here at Inside Sports Fantasy Football.